Now, back to Good Morning New Hampshire with Peter St. James and Pat Kelly on 107.7 The Pulse.
Turtles.
You gotta think about you.
Clever, huh?
I didn't have my mic on quick enough, or I would have got on the first piano note.
I really want you ever more near me.
Beatles heard this song and said, Eleanor near me. How about Eleanor Rigby?
And they went from there. And it's so funny. That's one of the first things that popped up when I was typing in Eleanor, because I knew I wanted the Turtles. Because joining us here from New Hampshire Fish and Game, Joshua, say your last name for me.
It's Megacy.
Megacy. Okay, great. I was just going to go with the assumed, but I didn't want to screw it up. And welcome to Good Morning New Hampshire.
Thank you very much for having me. Appreciate it.
Oh, no problem at all. No problem at all. We'll be gentle, we promise. And Peter, sorry that he could not be here with us today. But I'm very excited. Tell me a little bit about what it is that you do with New Hampshire Fish and Game.
Sure. So I work for the non-game endangered wildlife program, which is in the wildlife division of the New Hampshire Fish and Game Department. And so I am a wildlife biologist, and I work specifically with turtles, and these are rare and endangered turtles in New Hampshire. I started working with them in 2014 with a wood turtle project.
Nice.
And they are...
I remember that.
Yep, they're a species of special concern in New Hampshire. They're a stream turtle. So that's sort of where I got my start with turtles. And then I moved into a few other projects that were also state endangered or state threatened. And those include Blanding's turtles, state endangered, spotted turtles, which are state threatened, and eastern box turtles, which are extremely rare, and those are also state endangered.
Wow, and is it mostly habitat, Josh?
Why they're endangered? Or
yeah,
rare?
I mean, because it sounds like it's not like we have one turtle on the endangered list. It sounds like turtles may be in some trouble.
They are, and so, I mean, reptiles and amphibians in general are declining as a whole. Worldwide, really. But in New Hampshire, these turtles are, a big part of it is habitat loss. So the areas that they need are shrinking or getting surrounded by development.
Right.
And with that comes other issues like roads and road mortality. So there's a lot of roadkill with turtles, especially this time of year where they're starting to get, they're starting to find areas to nest, and they leave the water and aquatic environments, and they go to find open sandy areas to nest, and that sometimes finds them going across roads.
Yeah.
And it's a busy road. It's not a good situation.
Yeah, it is kind of tough because, again, they are dark crossing the road. You know, I mean, it's dark out. They are dark, and it's not like there's deer's eyes that you're like, okay, I think something's in the road up here. It's a little bit tougher.
It can be harder, yeah, especially if they're smaller, like a spotted turtle and not the size of a big 40-pound snapping turtle. It's easier to miss them. And if they are out at night, that's even harder. But it happens day or night, so it's just difficult.
Yeah.
We also have another threat is collection of these turtles because they're rare, and also a lot of them have really beautiful markings and colors.
Mm-hmm.
So for the illegal pet trade, they're collected, sometimes poached, and sometimes they end up even in international trade. So like food markets and medicine, stuff like that.
That's
and
terrible.
So that's something we're watching carefully, yeah. We haven't seen a lot of that in New Hampshire yet, and hoping, we can get ahead of that. But it is something that other states are experiencing, and so that's there, too.
All right. There's so much to consider. But the reality is, these are beautiful creatures.
They are, yeah. And spotted turtles are just stunning. They're just black with these beautiful yellow dots on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, eastern box turtles, they look like, their shell looks like it's painted yellow or orange. I mean, it's just a really striking features. And they're easily, people are drawn to them because they're, they're fairly docile. It's not like a snake that's going to just,
You running in the other direction?
Yeah.
When you come upon them? No, it'll be more like, yep. Oh my God, it's a turtle. Everybody, come here. Yep. Look at this. Yeah.
Yeah, easy to pick up and look at,
it is part of our habitat here in New Hampshire. So are there programs to try to keep the numbers up of the certain species of turtles?
Yeah, and so some of the grants that I was talking about that I worked under for. Both monitoring, these individuals and the populations, try to figure out where they are and how they're using the landscape. Through that work, we were able to sort of figure out that, we need to start doing some things to continue to do some things that are important mm-hmm. for their existence long term. And one of the big ones is creating nesting habitat in areas where, they have a core population and they don't have to leave their home turf.
So right, so they don't have to cross any roads or something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, or development. And so we've been doing a lot of that, creating nesting areas where, we know there's sort of like hot spots and the need is there. And another thing that we've really been kind of pushing is, providing technical assistance to landowners and other agencies and other organizations. For like land management, and so like there's certain activities in the landscape that could be harmful if it's done at the wrong time, or for turtles when they're most active in the uplands.
Right.
Things like haying or even forestry or excavating, any of that kind of stuff. If it's during this June period, it can be really harmful if the turtles are up looking for nesting. Yeah. And so so we've been providing a lot of that information to the agencies and landowners. And in fact, that's one of my primary objectives right now. And one of the things that we have an actual initiative to do through the USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service. They're providing us the opportunity to work with landowners and land managers and farmers and stuff like that. And they actually have some incentives for people to, do some conservation practices that are going to benefit turtles on their property. So that's kind of where we are right now, really kind of working hard to, get those conservation actions on the ground and moving forward.
Cool. Hey, Josh, now,
yeah,
I understand, don't turtles always nest in the same place where they lay eggs?
They can. They have very high site fidelity. So they find a nesting area as young females, and I want to say young females. They don't reach sexual maturity till 14 or 15 years old. So they have to live a while before they start reproducing. But once they find a nesting area, they really do come back to it year after year.
So and, can they be retrained?
Yeah.
You're talking about putting in these areas. Do you retrain them to stay here and not move, to crossroads?
Yeah, so that's something that another thing we take into consideration is where they're moving to already. And then when we create a nesting area, we want to start putting it in a place that they're going to notice it or mm-hmm. intercept them before they leave. And so that can take some time before they really get used to a new spot. There is some evidence that, and people have done this in other states, where they actually take a female turtle that has eggs in her, and they'll carry her to a new nesting area, show it to her, and then bring her back. And they have this ability to sort of map their landscape and their their brains, and
nice.
And they'll actually, there's some evidence that they actually come back and they sort of remember that spot that they were physically shown.
Oh, that's great.
Huh.
Oh, that's good. That is a plus. And you know, I love how you're using landowners, because it's not like you have a staff of 120 people that you can send teams out to all these places all over New Hampshire every day. It's great to have extra arms and extra fingers out there doing the work with you.
Yeah. There's really only a couple of us that work with turtles. I'm
right.
Sort of the main turtle person, but, you know, to have people who are willing, I mean, that's the best part, is that there's a whole bunch of people that are just willing to, you know, and excited about doing these conservation practices. But, yeah, having the eyes out there, having people do work on their land or hiring people to do it on their land is huge, because we're really, you know, for New Hampshire Fish and Game, most of our work before this has been, you know, opportunistically with landowners, but mostly on state land where we're actually able to do this stuff.
Right. That's awesome. But again, I you know, I think it's important, and especially during this hopping time of the year, because this would be...
Right.
This would be vacation time, I guess. I mean, the turtles are out and about, and this is when they're out there, and you got to watch out.
Yeah. This is peak nesting season right now, so keep an eye out.
And, yeah. Especially if you, if it's roads, like, and you're in your normal commute, you already know where the areas would be, because there's creeks or there's streams or there's wetlands off on either side of the road where the potential for turtles would be.
Yeah, there's certainly higher potential there, although there's times when it's not so obvious that there's turtle habitat there.
True.
And they just seem to be moving out of a woodland area. And, you know, a lot of the turtles that we followed using radio telemetry has sort of, I mean, it's shown us that some of these females can travel up to a mile just to go to a nesting area, and then right back to where they, to where their, you know, sort of home wetland is, or where they hibernate. So, you know, it's a long hike, and that's why, you know, when it comes to land protection, we're really trying to find, you know, we're really trying to secure land and put it into conservation easements, so that we protect as much land as possible around these priority populations, because they really do use the landscape, and they go from wetland to wetland, or, you know, stream to upland. Wood turtles spend most of the warmer season completely out of the water and just up in the woods and in fields and shrubby areas. So they're really using that whole landscape quite a bit.
It's kind of like how we do it, Josh, as humans.
Well, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You get outside a little bit more. You hang in the highlands. You enjoy what summer has to offer for you before you have to hunker down for the winter.
Josh, would it be unethical to maybe paint a big swatch of fluorescent orange on the back of these turtles?
I'm before we even talk to Josh with New Hampshire Fish and Game, yeah, I'm thinking yes, Bob.
Well, I mean, you know, so
painted is just a name for the turtle. It's not what you need to do.
No, but I mean, you know, when they cross the road, so people don't squish them.
Right. No, there's always been talk about doing that stuff, and so the other issue is that we don't want to draw too much attention to them and have them be a target for predators,
right,
but also be people walking around the woods and then finding one and picking it up
and wanting to take
and
it home.
And I should say that
it followed me home.
Yeah, when people take a turtle home, it's usually out of curiosity, and, you know, they're not doing anything intentionally harmful, but when a turtle is taken home and kept as a pet or something like that, they're removed from that population, and most of the time they don't end up back there.
Correct.
So effectively, they've been, you know, they're as good as a dead turtle.
As good as out of the count, yeah.
So leave turtles alone and don't run over them, right?
Yeah, exactly. And if you do see one on the road, this is another important point. And people do this all the time, and I get pictures and, you know, people moving them off the road, which is great. as long as they're doing it safely, you know, in traffic and stuff like that. But you always want to take that turtle and move it to the other side of the road in the direction that it was heading.
Right, man. Make sure you know the direction it was heading in.
Yeah,
because if you don't, they'll turn around and cross again because they know where they're going and they're hell bent on going that way. So
right.
So that's an important point.
Yeah, they got the turtle GPS working. So
that's right.
You just have to. Well, listen, Josh. Thank you so much for sharing, especially this busy time of the year for turtles. I know it's a busy time of the year for you. Thank you so much for sharing. Can we go like online and find out more about turtles? Because maybe it's a new curiosity. Maybe having the family at home, you're like, okay, listen, we saw a couple turtles. Let's go check that out. Can they get some more info?
Yeah, absolutely. And so we have the New Hampshire Fish and Game website. There's under wildlife, there's the non-game and endangered wildlife program. And
right.
Within that, you can find all the species that we work with and the groups. And so there's reptiles and amphibians, and under that is turtles. Through our, we have species profiles in our wildlife action plan.
Right.
So you can get a ton of information about each individual turtle, well, all the turtles in New Hampshire. You can get, but the habitat needs and the threats and actions that can be taken to protect them. So all that information is there, and I encourage anybody who's got any questions, they can certainly get in touch with me anytime, and happy to talk to anybody.
All right, that's can we go through the website and do the contact you?
Yeah, I'm listed in there. I can provide my email address to anybody that wants it right now.
But you can get it online too. Because this is how people just listen. They're driving to work, or they're doing their thing in the kitchen, and they're just getting set up at work right now. And they're like, man, I am going to check this out when I'm pretending I'm working later on. That'll be a good thing.
Right.
Josh, listen, thank you so much for taking time with us here this morning.
No, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
And thanks for everybody out there who's keeping an eye on the turtles and helping them across the roads.
Yeah.
Really appreciate it.
All right, and listen, before we go, a thumbs up to your brother Matthew that was hit over the weekend, and he is at home now recuperating some severe injuries. But all of our thoughts and prayers are with he and his family.
Thank you. Yeah, I hope he's doing well.
Yeah, he is well. So far, so good, and hopefully, we'll just follow this out to a great outcome. Well, listen, Josh, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Josh.
Okay. Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
No problem. Coming up, more of Good Morning New Hampshire here on 107.7 The Pulse.